Welcome to the first episode of SJHL Insider for the 2023-2024 season. Yes, the SJHL season is just 24 hours away from puck drop, and we are very excited to get the ball rolling with the 2023-2024 season. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Jeremy Corrigan, the Director of Media for the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. And before we dive into all the fun stuff with the SJHL preview show for SJHL Insider, of course, we had the preview show for SJHL Weekly on Monday. A big thank you goes out to our friends at UPL, the presenting sponsor for SJHL Insider this year. And of course, for SJHL Weekly, UPL presenting all of the shows in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League this year. So a big shout out to UPL. And I got to give a big thank you to all of our other great sponsors, Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Automall, Great Western Nutrien, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGEU, SGI. Thank you so much for all your support. I say it every show. If it wasn't for your support, these shows would not be possible. So lots to get into today. We're also going to be joined by the voice of the Balfour's North Stars, Mr. Marty Martinson. Get his thoughts on a lot of different things. I'm sure he'll be here for a while. He always is. But before we do, we got to bring in Clark Monroe. Clark, as we hit to the two shot, there he is. How are we doing today?
Oh, it's just fantastic, Jeremy. I mean, the air is changing, and whenever the air changes, it starts to smell a little bit like hockey. And I'm super pumped to be in here with you again.
How is the air changing? Please
slightly
elaborate.
Colder, you know, colder at night. The sun's going down sooner. It's getting darker. It just kind of feels more like hockey. It's fall. You see all these camp. The buzz around camps is heating up, and now you're starting to see some final rosters come around, and some news coming down from that. So, just feels a little bit more like hockey season.
Yeah, the ice is back in all the arenas, and the SJHL season starts tomorrow night with 5 games on the schedule. Very exciting. And this year promises to be another, I would say, we talked about it on Monday. I just think there's going to be even more parity this year in the SJHL, which is obviously it's great for all 12 markets across the league, and it's exciting for us to talk about, because at the end of the day, that means anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And at this time, it's like, for us, we have no idea who's going to win the SJHL this year, and that's what you want out of your hockey league.
That's exactly it. And I loved Monday's episode, by the way. Great job with the fellas, Rory and Jamie, of course. It was awesome to kind of get their takes on all the storylines that are coming up. We'll talk about a few more today. Do you want to get into that right now? Let's do it.
I mean, you cut yourself off. You cut yourself off there just to go into a new segment. But okay, sure.
You know how much I love this segment. But what I'll finish that just really quick. But there are a lot of storylines. There's a lot of kind of question marks up in the air right now, as there is with every before the season actually kicks off. But it's going to be an exciting season nonetheless. But with that in mind, Jeremy, let's get into our topics today with the first one of the year.
Yep.
The hat trick. It is in full effect. It needs a sponsor.
Yeah, we still need a sponsor for the hat trick. So if your business or your company or your anything really wants to sponsor the hat trick this year, feel free to reach out to Director of Marketing of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, Jacob Faith, for more details.
Jacob Faith. But let's get into it. So we're going to start with, we go 3 topics per show. We did all last year, so that's the same format, hat trick.
Right.
We're going to go division by division. Each topic is a division, and we're going to go with some storylines from each division.
Correct.
So we're going to start up north with the Sherwood division, Jeremy, and I'm going to let you get it kicked off. What is your, let's say, top storyline or like thing that you're watching most from the Sherwood division?
The offensive talent up front for the forwards.
Yes.
I think you look at all 4 teams in the SJHL Sherwood division, and I mean, top through bottom. There's a lot of offensive weapons. You look at the Flint Flon Bombers, Alexi Silvestri, Jacob Vaukler, Justin Lees, who I think it's a safe assumption. He's going to be, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a top 5 scorer in the SJHL this year, with how good. It's not often you get a player coming back to the junior A level who has played over 200 games in the Western Hockey League. Justin Lee's coming back to his hometown. Flin Flon Bombers play at the Whitney Forum in front of friends and family. Play with your brother. You know, I think it's going to be a really fun season for Justin Lee's and the Flin Flon Bombers, and I think he's going to be a great, exciting talent in the SJHL this year. But then you look at Nipwin, of course, Maguire Ratslap, Braxton Buckberger, Joel Maben, Melford has Zach Summers, David Rieu, Ryan Duguay, LaRange, Mason Bucher, Dylan Handel, Jacob Gossett, Cale Taylor. There's a lot of offensive weapons in the Sherwood division, and we talk about how that division is always so difficult. It's so difficult to, especially divisional games, it's so tough to win in that division. All those four of those rinks are very difficult to play in. You mentioned it earlier, we saw all four teams make the playoffs this year. Not only could I see all four teams in the making the playoffs this year, like I think all four teams you can make a argument will be top teams this year.
Yeah,
in absolutely. The SJHL.
Yeah, and that was what I was going to say is, you know, all four of these teams made the playoffs last year, and I think, you know, barring some crazy happenstance, I think that this year all four of these teams are destined to have another playoff run. Like you said, the offensive talent is there. They've all got some pretty solid goalies coming back as well.
That would have been my other, other storyline, I think, for this division quietly.
Yeah.
All four teams have. I mean, there's a lot of returning goalies this year.
Yeah. And that could probably be a storyline for each division.
I mean, that's a storyline in itself.
Yeah.
Is there are a lot of returning goalies in the SJHL this year and a lot of returning good goalies. Mm-hmm. This division's no different. Yeah. I mean, you have Harmon Laser-Hume up in Flin Flon. And then, of course, Damon Cunningham and Nipwin, who they got halfway through the season last year.
Yeah.
Huge news for Melfort with James Venn coming back. And then, of course, in LaRange, yes, they lose Dawson Smith because he got his NCAA Division I scholarship, which is outstanding for Dawson Smith.
Well
but
deserved.
They still have Topher Chirico as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's another storyline in itself just in that division. But, I mean, in a grander scale, I think the goaltending in the SJHL this year, I mean...
Yeah, across the board.
It's pretty darn good.
We might come back to that a couple times for the next couple of divisions as well.
I think we're going to be talking about that all year.
Yeah,
I really do.
Exactly.
I look at the SJHL this year when it comes to goaltending, and there's not many teams that don't have a returning goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, it's just Melville and Battlefords, if I'm not mistaken. And with Melville, they went out and got William Dyke, who was a former Humboldt Bronco, played in the OJHL last year.
Yep.
And you know, Battlefords, of course, they lost both their goaltenders, but knowing Braden Klimosko and company, I'm sure they'll have great goalies too. So
yep.
I think that's a bigger story in itself outside of the Sherwood division is just the goaltending in the SJHL.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a very strong division once again. Let's move on to the Nutrien division. Jeremy, this is a very interesting division this season. Sure. What is your top storyline for this one?
Unpredictability.
Thank you. Yes.
Because, you know... If you remember the standings from last year, of course, Battlefords and Humboldt, even though they were in the same division, I kind of feel bad for Humboldt last year a little bit. You finish second place in the SJHL, but you don't win a division title.
Mm-hmm.
Like that doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how obviously good Battlefords was last year. But, you know, I would say, you know, I think it's a safe assumption and I don't think Braden Klimosko and their staff will get upset for me saying this, but I think it will be a little bit of a step back this year for Battlefords. I mean, you lose all those weapons and everything like that, but they're still going to be a solid team this year. Of course, they only lost a handful of games last year, so I mean, it's hard.
The step back isn't... You don't have to do much to have a step back
exactly.
After how good
exactly.
Of a season
they had last year. Yes. And you know, and I think Humboldt will be solid again as well, but they have a lot of fresh faces as well. And then you have Kindersley, I think, who, you know, everyone I've talked to, yourself, of course, Rory and Jamie, a lot of people around the league think that Kindersley is going to take a big step this year. And then Notre Dame is the wild card.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Rory and Jamie kind of hit the nail on the head on Monday with how unpredictable this division can be when it comes to who wins the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I think you could make an argument you can make an argument for, you know, for sure for Battlefords, Humboldt, and Kindersley, and then you never know with Notre Dame. Notre Dame's always that wild card. I just find, like, with the Hounds, you just never know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of where they were last year, but with how good Brett Pilkington is with as a coach and some of these players that they find, and they talked about, Jamie talked about how this is probably the most veteran of a Hounds team that they've had in a while. Mm-hmm. They could easily be, 6-7-8 as well. So yeah. I don't know. It's like, that's the thing for this Nutrien division, which, I'm just happy that it has a shorter name. And thanks. Yes. Shout out to our friends at Nutrien. Of course, nothing against the former sponsor.
No.
But it's just a lot easier to say when I'm rambling like this. Mm-hmm. But I think this division is just, I think it's going to be very close.
Yeah. Two things with Notre Dame. Shout out to Carson Bayless, just got named the team captain. Carson Bayless, shout out to you. And Brett Pilkington is the assistant coach for the Hockey Saskatchewan under 16 team, I believe. So I saw that today. Shout out to those two guys. I think my biggest thing, and you kind of touched on it, is going to be, I'm going to call it the rise and fall of the Nutrien division. And the rise, I'm talking about the Kindersley Clippers. I have a good feeling that that team, with the amount of guys they have coming back, the amount of their leading scores from last year that they have coming back, and some of the young guys that they're bringing in, I just think it's going to be a fun team to watch. And then Battleford's, like you said, just what kind of step back are they going to have? It's inevitable unless some, you know, all these guys step up and score. What was it that they've lost? 100 and
it's a lot.
63 or 80, 100,
it's over 150.
A lot of goals.
I know
are
that
gone.
For sure. It's over 150.
So I mean,
it's a lot of goals.
There is, now we talked about this, I think, last week, Jer, before any of the shows started up. But you know, they still have good players coming back that were young last year. They'll have guys that can contribute and will take steps and will be forced to take steps.
And you know what, I hopped on with our good friend, Rob Hart, for an interview for ahead of their start of their season. And we talked about Battlefords. And what was interesting with Battlefords is, yes, did they lose a lot? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But how valuable is experience? And I think that's something that gets underlooked across junior hockey, is experience. And think about those returning players that are coming back to the North Stars this year, after winning a league championship, whether you were a guy who was potentially in and out of the lineup, a guy who was maybe playing in the bottom six, bottom pairing, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you were on that team and you experienced that ride of being as good as you were in the regular season, going on a massive playoff run, losing the first game, winning 12 straight, winning an SJHL Canterra Seeds Cup championship, going to a national championship at the Centennial Cup, and then end up losing in the final. All of that is experience, and it's a lot more experience than a lot of other junior hockey players have.
Yep.
And those players can then pass on that knowledge to the younger staff. And I think sometimes experience is undervalued.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think they have a strong leadership, and it's tough to doubt the 3-time coach of the year in Braden Klimosko. I'm sure, yes, it will be a bit of a down year when it comes. They're not going to, spoiler, they're going to probably lose more than 5 games or whatever was in regulation last year. But it should still be a fun year. And we'll talk to Marty about it.
Yeah,
too.
I can't wait to talk to
Marty.
Like,
we'll talk to Marty about it. But yeah. I still think it's going to be a strong year. And then I think those returning players are going to, I think they're going to get opportunities that unfortunately they couldn't get last year because of how good they were.
Yeah.
But now they're going to be able to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah. And I think just the last little small tidbit is there's a lot of young players in this division that I'm really excited to watch as well. So that's one more thing to watch from the Nutrien, is just some of the really, really solid young talent that has a chance to have a really great rookie year as well. And maybe we'll get into that another episode. But let's move on to the Viterra division, obviously the most southern division of the three. We're moving north to south here. So what is your top storyline coming out of this one this year in the Viterra division?
The goaltending.
Yeah.
I think the goaltending, I think, is for me. I don't know if you see a lot of divisional games in the Viterra this year. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Because I like all four starting goaltenders in this Viterra division. I mean, we can start obviously in Estevan, who with Cam Hrdlicka, who I think we can all agree is probably one. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a favorite for SJHL goaltender of the year, I think, this year. last year, 22-16-2, 2.93 goals against average during the regular season. But I mean, remember how good he was in that Flynn Flon series in the playoffs. I mean, he almost stole that series himself. He had a 942 save percentage. And I've always been a big advocate. Look at, when you look at goaltending stats in junior A hockey, don't look at goals against average, look at save percentage. Cause I think that tells the tale a lot more than goals against average, because just it's junior hockey. Mistakes are bound to happen, and goalies are going to let in goals. And of course, shot totals, you said. But so I think save percentage is a stronger indicator.
Yeah.
And as I run through the goalies in this division, you'll understand why, because you look at Cam Hrdlicka, he had a 913 during the regular season. And then I included, the only reason why I included Hrdlicka in the playoff percentages, because it just took, it was so big. 942.
Yeah.
942 save percentage in the playoffs is ridiculous. Daza Mitchell, outstanding regular season. He actually had better stats than Cam Hrdlicka in the regular season. Slightly better goals against average, 2.85. He didn't play as much, part of the reason.
Not many did.
No, and that's the other thing. Not
a lot of minutes left.
But then he also had the same save percentage, 913.
Right.
William Dykeman Melville, acquiring him from Ontario last year, after being acquired by Burlington, he had 11-1 record, a 2.34 goals against average, and a 927 save percentage. Of course, he's a former Humboldt Bronco. He's got lots of junior experience, and as a 20-year-old goaltender with a team in Melville who's going to be young this year, it's important to have a veteran goaltender. And then I think the wild card for me in goaltending this year is, I think, Caleb Allen. Mm-hmm. We talked about Caleb Allen a lot last season with Yorkton and how valuable he was for that hockey team. And you got to remember, Yorkton finished 10th last year in the SJHL. Caleb Allen had a 16-25-1 record. Another guy who played a lot last year. His goals against average, you look at his stats, goals against average, not good.
Mm-hmm.
Save percentage, though, much better. It's just below 900, but it's an 893. And I think that proves, like, for Caleb Allen, I think his numbers don't do him justice of how good he was last year for a Yorkton Terriers team who really struggled, and especially struggled kind of in that second half of the season, because there was a time where they just couldn't get any wins together at all.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised. We talk about experience for the other division, or with the Battleford's North Stars. I've always been a big believer, too, is experience from your rookie year as a goaltender to your second year as a goaltender at the junior A level. You can expect a big jump in both, in just how you perform. Perfect example is Dawson Smith.
There you go. Yeah.
Look how he was as an 18-year-old behind Xavier Cannon up in LaRange. And then he comes out last year, and again, I stand by, you can easily make the argument he was the best goalie in the SJHL last year.
Oh, I thought you were going to say best SJHL weekly guest last year.
And best SJHL weekly guest last year.
He was one of them.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. But no, you can make the argument that him and Josh Cote were 1A, 1B on best goalies in the SJHL last year, and that's why they both got Division I scholarships. So I do expect Caleb Allen to take a big jump this year, and I just think you look across the board, Viterra Division, I don't know. Like, all four goalies are very good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. And just to tack on more praise on Caleb Allen while we're at it, last year in the SJHL, he appeared in the most games of any goaltender across the entire league as an 18-year-old, 45.
Yes.
Second in minutes, which Harmon Laserhulme beat him in minutes, but Harmon Laserhulme played a lot. Yes. And, you know, for an 18-year-old goalie to come into this league, it's never easy, like you said, to begin with.
Extremely difficult.
And to be not tossed into the fire, that's not the right word, but to be given the workload, I should say, that Caleb Allen had last year, and the amount of times we said, man, Caleb Allen is winning games for Yorkton. He was exceptional.
Well, especially at the beginning of the year.
Especially at the beginning of the year when he was a fresh-faced 18-year-old. So, like you said, I love the goaltending across the division. Allen, Dyke, Hrdlicka, and Daza Mitchell. I think Daza Mitchell is going to have a great season as well.
And it's his third year in the SJHL.
Exactly.
And he's going to be 19 this year.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his numbers during the preseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a strong indicator of how good he's going to be. And I just think, I can't wait for that first Sevan Weyburn game.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't, like, if it's anything more than 2-1, I'll be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch it be like 7-6, just out of nowhere.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Cam and Daza. Clark just jinxed you.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
I don't
think they'll listen to me.
I do think that Viterra division is very intriguing when it comes to the goaltending. But obviously, two of the four teams in that division also have new coaches.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yes.
So that's another one. Obviously, Emery Olesen in Yorkton. It's interesting the differences between Yorkton and Melville, because obviously you have a guy like Emery Olesen coming in, the new head coach of the Yorkton Terriers has a lot of returning players this year to work with, whereas Doug Johnson in Melville, just down the highway, lots of junior A coaching experience. Of course, he won the Nipawin Hawks a SJHL championship not too long ago. And not as much to work with. Even talking with Doug during the season preview for the Melville Millionaires, which you can catch on our YouTube page.
Good plug.
With Doug Johnson. There was not much when it came to returning forwards for the Melville Millionaires. So those subtle storylines with the new coaches as well. I mean, we can also include, obviously, out in Kindersley as well. There are three new coaches in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. And it's interesting because obviously two of them are all three of them are very familiar with the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Of course, yep. Clayton Jardine started his coaching career in Kindersley 2015-2016 as assistant coach, was head coach briefly, went to Alberta, come back. But the new coaches, I'm intrigued how they're going to be as well this year.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, all three quite different situations, all three different experience sets, and all three just new perspectives for those teams. Right. And all three teams missed the playoffs last year, so they have an opportunity to really put their stamp on their teams.
Right.
And I think for a young guy like Emery Olesen, well, he's had a lot of experiences, but for him to come into this league, which he was in the past as a player and, stuff like that. But right. I think it's a good opportunity for him to kind of, maybe he learned by fire there. That's where I meant to say it.
Sure.
So he's going to have a great opportunity to put his stamp on that team. Clayton Jardine's coming into a great opportunity with young players in Kindersley with a lot of returners.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug Johnson, with his experience, I won't put anything past Doug Johnson.
Yeah.
They're
going to be tough to play.
I don't know what you call it, a colleague. I worked with Estevan when he was in Nipawin back when I was in the league as an employee with Estevan Bruins, and always respected Doug greatly. He was always good to work with. Anytime we had to do, I had to talk to him, he's an intimidating guy, but he's also very good to work with and very respectful. And I just think a lot of Doug Johnson. So I think that's three great coaches coming into this league with three really different situations, and I can't wait to see how it all plays out for those guys.
As we wait for our lovely guest, Marty Martinson,
mm-hmm.
I want to ask you this. It's interesting with the parity this year in the SJHL. I almost think this is the one year you almost kind of wish there was a wild card series.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you
more teams
wonder,
make the playoffs.
Yeah, just because like this, I think we talked about last year how unpredictable last year was.
We did.
I think this year is even more unpredictable.
Yeah,
is that a safe assessment?
I think so. And let's just say this: it's not because of who's coming back; it's because of who's gone. There was so much talent in the league last year, and we saw it. Not centralized, but I mean, look how good Battleford's was. Look how many good players they had, and they lost not only their 20-year-olds, but two of their best 19-year-olds as well. Three of their best 19-year-olds. Cote 19 last year? I got to remember now. I got to rejig my brain to what happened last year. So they lost a lot of talent, and a lot of teams lost some really great players. So right now, it's just going to be, for me anyways, one of the big storylines league-wide is going to be who's going to be the next crop? Who's going to be the next one to lead the league in scoring and score an absurd amount of goals like Kian Bell did last year? And who's going to be the goalie to take? Well, we got a lot of goalies coming back, which we said. A
lot of goalies.
But who's going to be that goalie to just kind of take the headlines like Josh Cote did last year? Like, there's a lot of great players coming back, and I can't wait to see the fresh faces, the new faces that we don't even know yet are going to be star players for their teams, and correct. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and it'll all get going on Friday, of course, with five games on the schedule, six games Saturday, and then, of course, the weekend wraps up on Sunday with Humboldt and Notre Dame, but the season starts Friday. Flin Flon at Nipawin, Yorkton at Weyburn, Melville at Estevan, LaRonge at Melfort, and Kindersley at Battleford. Then Saturday, Super Saturday in the SJHL, six games in total. All 12 teams on the ice. So it's very exciting. Get out to your local rink and catch the action in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, because this season it's more unpredictable than ever. Who do you think? I'll ask you this, since we're waiting on Marty.
Marty.
I'll ask you this. Do you want to make your predictions for the divisions?
The divisions?
Who do you think is going to win each division? I mean, I asked Rory and I asked Jamie this. So do you have predictions of who you think is going to win each division?
Yeah, I'll take a chance. Don't hold me against this. Nobody will.
Nobody will.
Nobody will. Nobody ever does, right? I'll start south, go north. Yep. I think Estevan just has so much that their blue line as a group might be one of the best in the league, I think, and just in terms of the talent that they have in their defensive group. Obviously, Cam Hrdlicka. Jackson Miller is going to take a step, too, as a guy coming back from his first year in the league, I think, in net. And then they have some veterans coming back and their forward group as well, and they made some additions as well. So I just think Estevan has put themselves into a position, at least at this moment in time, to be a heavy favorite in the league in general, but also just in the Viterra division. In the Nutrien division, it's tough. Like you said, this is the unpredictable one. I'm going to say Humboldt, and mostly because, again, they have some guys coming back that I think will just have great seasons. Rory mentioned it on Monday. Rory McGoran mentioned it. Dalen Weagle's coming back. He's going to have a big year on that blue line. He's going to be put into a position to succeed. They have some goaltending. They have Benjamin Motu. We talked about him a little bit. And they have those younger guys, because we talk about how much Scott Barney loves to play those younger players that are poised to have big seasons as young players. And they also have some vets coming back as well. So I think it's going to be Humboldt in the Nutrien right now. And in the Sherwood, I'm going to go with Flin Flon. I just think that top line that you pointed out is so strong. Not that the others aren't, but that one's just so strong. And I just can't wait to see 17 points in three preseason games. How is that going to translate into the regular season? Harmon Laser-Hume, I think, is poised to maybe fight for that top goaltender position in the entire league. And they never give you an easy game. So it's always been that way. Mike Reagan's always been that way. So I think Flin Flon's going to take that one.
This episode of SJHL Insider is presented by our friends at SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, if you do go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home. And it's always entertaining when we have this guy on the program. Go. Here is the play-by-play voice of the Battleford's North Stars, Mr. Marty Martinson, after a shorter summer than many. Marty is on the program. There he is, looking dapper as ever. Marty, how we doing? How was the summer, my friend?
Hey there, guys. Thanks for having me on there. Great to see you guys here. Best part of the new season is getting the chance or getting the invite to come back on the show here. It's always a pleasure coming on to talk some hockey. And I'll tell you what here, guys. I'm trying to think back. I don't know if there's a season I've been more excited to get things underway. So really looking forward to it.
Really? Why is that? I want to know. Why is this year the most excited you've been?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just look at the roster this year and I see nothing but potential. You know, like, again, I'm sure you got all kinds of questions to ask me and I might be foiling a few of them. But for this North Stars team, I mean, obviously you talk about the wealth of youth. You know, a lot of guys moving on there from last year's team. You know, it's a little bit of the burden of success, maybe a little bit, you could say. With certain guys going on, even maybe guys who are eligible to return, moving on to kind of the NCAA route right off the bat. They're even in their 20-year-old seasons. But for this North Stars team, I mean, they got such a good veteran core of guys, like just great character guys, you know, led at the top. You need a great captain to really set the tone and lead the way. And you look at this North Stars team, I mean, you go from, what, McNich, on to Southgate, on to now Tanner Gold taking the mantle here. And he's just the absolute rock on the back end, the real cornerstone of this team. And you build out from there. You know, we got a great mix here on this North Stars team of, you know, those veteran guys, guys coming back with that, you know, cup winning championship experience last year. Guys like Jackson Allen, Owen Underhill, you know, Jordan Grill, who we'll get into maybe a little bit when we talk about some of the versatility of this group. You know, Brad Blake there as well, obviously in the 20-year-old sphere of things. Evan Waldie as well up front. you know, you got so many of these different guys on the back end, Isaac as well, along with Gould there and Easton Rask. So many of these guys that are just going to be, you know, brim with confidence coming off of the season that the team had last year. And then what's really exciting is seeing this just wealth of youth movement here coming on with this North Stars team. So I could not be more excited. And yeah, I'm sure you got a range of questions here, so I'll try not to spill the beans too much right now. But boy, there's a lot to be excited about with this young group as well.
You didn't spoil anything. You're good. You're good. Don't worry about it. Let's start from the beginning, though. We'll start from the beginning. Let's talk a little bit about training camp and preseason. I mean, I saw you. You went all over the place with the Stars during the preseason. What'd you make of training camp preseason with the Stars? Maybe let's focus a little bit on what did you see from some of those younger players that are hoping to make this North Stars Hockey Club?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I saw is really what I see is the identity of this group and their real strength top to bottom there with these young guys really playing right into that. I see two key strengths on this group that the whole team's built around. It's speed. It's their pace of play, both in their foot speed there. They've got guys who can really skate, but also in the way they move that puck so quickly. And then point number two is versatility. You know, it's great to be able to move the puck quick, but it's even better when you can throw out these different looks. You know, 56 games is a long time over the course of a regular season. And as we saw, you know, in the postseason as well, you know, it's nice to be able to throw out some different looks, you know, try some guys in different areas. And I think that's what the preseason was really all about for this North Stars team. You know, I mentioned some of the returning guys here. I didn't even mention a guy like Marshall Light, who, you know, still just 18 years old this year, going to be in there again, like a real core piece in the center of the ice. But if you look at some of these guys coming in, Bailey Shortall's a guy who really impressed me. I mean, right-hand shot, he's played mostly the right-wing side, but he can play center as well. And where was that game? I was just watching, because I did some of the traveling with the team there, namely in their first preseason game against LaRange that was at Flying Dust. Unbelievable atmosphere for that one as well. I mean, it was a packed barn there, and the North Stars able to come away with that one. But it was in that last game, I believe, against LaRange. I was watching even on the Flow Hockey there. Unbelievable stuff. Shortall intercepts a pass, feeds his man Castellano there for a breakaway opportunity. He also had a gorgeous snipe there on the power play just 6 minutes in. It's that lethal release. It's the good, heady two-way play, you know, much like a Mark Stone, that sort of player, just a good 200-foot player. And that's what the North Stars are just brim with. You know, he was also captain of his team, even going back to last year, guy from the East Coast there in Shortall's case. But then you look at even a guy like Leighton McLean there. I mean, I think he was the North Stars' leading scorer from the preseason, certainly right up there in goals as well. He's another one of these guys, can move around the lineup, 19 years old, a bit of an older guy coming in for his first year. But, I mean, this is a guy, explosive shot there. You know, he could play, he's fast up and down the wing there, could play with a variety of centers, you know, and then whether you want to roll out a guy like, you know, obviously Jackson Allen will be the middle of the ice. You know, even Owen Underhill, we saw play some center ice on through the inter-squad game, scored a couple of goals in his first game play at center, in inter-squad play there, a little bit through the preseason, but then again, mostly on that left wing again. I mean, just so many players that can really make some plays here. You look at a guy like Rylan Williams, who, of course, the North Stars acquired from LaRange. He also scored in that last game there, the tying goal, 3 minutes to go in the third period. You know, forces overtime. Of course, LaRange coming away with the winner in that one. A bit of an OT thriller there to end off the preseason there, get the boys ready to roll here for the start of the regular season. But just to see these different guys like Williams, you know, again, speed down the wing, can play a variety of positions. He's worn a letter there at the AAA level. It's leadership. It's that, you know, two-way ability and that speed that this North Stars team just has in absolute spades.
I want to ask you about the blue line. I think that's one area that, for me, from an outsider perspective, who doesn't get to see the team day in, day out like yourself, but as somebody who obviously was with the Stars at the Centennial Cup, you know, seeing them through training camp, I think when you look at paper to have still a couple of returning defensemen who have that Centennial Cup experience, I look at a guy like, just as an example, Alex Isaac, who I thought played his best hockey at the Centennial Cup. He was outstanding for the Stars. But to how valuable do you think it is when you have this younger of a group coming in, especially up front, like you touched on, to have some veteran presence on the blue line.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's paramount. And you look at, I mean, this is now, and it's hard to believe even for me, this is my sixth year now I'm heading into with the North Stars, being here in the Battlefords. And I'll tell you what, it's absolutely flown by. And what's that old expression? Time flies when you're having fun. But if there's one thing that's been an absolute constant since I got here back in the fall of 2018, on that first year, the obviously championship run in 2019, on through now 6 years later, it's been the defense really serving as the cornerstone of the group. You know, that's one thing that the coaching staff here, Braden Klimosko, Gary Childerholz, they really preach, you know, strong defense there. And that comes from the forwards as well. But on the blue line specifically, you look at a guy like, you know, years ago, Cody Spaggart, winning top defenseman in the league there as the team went on to win the championship. You know, then it was Matthew Fletcher kind of picking up that mantle, he and Seth Summers. And then it was, you know, Tynan Ewer jumping in, winning top defenseman at the team awards there a couple of years ago, last year top defenseman in the league again. Of course, Fletcher did it before him. I mean, what is that, three times in the last four seasons it's been top defenseman in the league here. And when you have a guy like that who now it's Tanner Gold, who I mentioned, just touched on a little bit here already, I mean, when you got him wearing the C, the absolute equalizer there back on the blue line, and like you talked about, for Alex Isaac as well, I mean, how good has this guy been? Came in, the North Stars' lone acquisition there at the CJHL trade deadline in January, their last season, and all he did was fit in like an absolute puzzle piece there alongside Gold. They were facing, you know, the bulk of the heavy matchups against kind of that top opposition on the other side. And again, really just playing for both of those guys, I thought, even their best hockey on the biggest stage, whether that was the playoff run as it went along and then on into the Centennial Cup there on the run to the final on the national stage. I think anytime you have those guys like Gold, like Isaac leading the way, a couple of 20s, that's going to be great stuff. And another guy I'm excited about here as far as the returning players, the third returnee on the back end, how about Easton Rask? You know, this is a guy just did whatever was asked of him. He played a little bit of forward in the playoffs there for a couple of games against Melford. You know, he's one of those guys. He was running around like an absolute wrecking ball all preseason, and that's what he does. You know, he brings that physicality and really helps set the tone. But as far as new players coming in here, what's really exciting is these guys move the puck and they can absolutely skate. Xavier Lacoste is top of the list for me. If you watched any of the preseason for the North Stars, it was hard not to notice this guy when he was out there again in that last preseason game, even picking up the puck, looking off the shot there and making a shot pass instead into the high slot, aiming for the teammate's stick, a little bit of, you know, Lidstrom Holmstrom, you know, like for a little bit of an NHL reference there, or Lidstrom Zetterberg, you know, somebody in front where it's like, right, he's just cutting through that front of the ice. And then the defenseman, the heads up play, able to spot his man there, hit him as he's cutting in front of the net. It ended up being a gorgeous deflection goal for a power play marker. And you know, that's something he brings. It's creativity and it's absolute skating ability. This guy can pick up the puck. We saw him a lot playing power play. Again, not the biggest guy there in Lacoste. They're an 05, just 5'9", less about 175 pounds. But this guy picks up the puck and he can absolutely motor with it. And has that great playmaking acumen. And anytime you have a guy like that, we saw it with, you know, a young Tynan, and you were just a couple of years ago. You bring in a little bit of that influx of youth. Guy's not afraid to make some plays here, even as a younger guy. That's certainly some exciting stuff. And, you know, they got a lot of bright spots on that back end. A guy like Carson Olsen as well. Even Gavin Granger, who got a nice cup of coffee with the team last year, a good 5-game call-up. And I'll tell you what, in Granger's case, this guy's young, but he's mean too. He likes getting into it, getting physical in the corners there. And that's what you like to see here. A nice mix. You got the finesse, but you also have that kind of grit and that intangible element as well. So I couldn't be more excited to see. And let's not forget as well, I mentioned already a little bit about Jordan Grill. You look, he's a guy, his natural position is defense. So you're looking at a log jam at forward. You're obviously trying him out early on in the season there. In kind of the top six is where I got to imagine he's going to be coming out there on this North Stars team. But if need be, you can always move him back to the blue line as well. And that's kind of the poster boy for this, you know, versatility that I see with this group. You play him at, on the wing position, you can play him back on the blue line, and that'll really alleviate some of the pressure too, I think, for some of these young guys coming in, just knowing they have that, you know, ability to, you know, move the lineup in around.
I think with how good Jordan Grill was at forward during the playoffs, I don't think you are seeing him on the blue line for the Palford North Stars this year. But you never know. You never know. I saved the last two questions are the hardest ones for you, Marty. I think when you look at this Palford North Stars team, I think there is one glaring question mark that a lot of fans and I think some other people in the media might have for the team, and that is obviously in between the pipes. Both goaltenders are not with the team. Josh Côté, obviously, earning his Division I scholarship, SJHL Goaltender of the Year last year. No, not with the team, obviously. Off to play Division I hockey. Justin Merrick, currently in the Western Hockey League right now. So two fresh faces in between the pipes. I guess a two-part question is, tell me a little bit about both goaltenders, and I guess what's kind of the plan for rolling them out for Braden Klimosko and company?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question here. And, you know, it is, like you said, I mean, and it's kind of the one question mark just because it's two guys who don't have experience, prior exactly. experience at the junior A level here and in the SJHL specifically. I will say this much. There are a couple of smaller guys for the goaltending position, mm-hmm. but boy, they are the absolute competitors. We saw a lot through preseason. You know, outside of those first couple of games, rookie game, and then kind of the first game in, it's been those two for really carrying the bulk of it and really splitting time pretty evenly. I know when I was talking with head coach Braden Klimosko there, kind of heading in, I was saying towards the end of camp, I said, hey, you know, like, what are you kind of thinking? Like, I know these couple of guys are signed. Like, what's kind of the deal? And he was saying, you know what? Like, this is a great chance for them to kind of fight it out and you know, just bring their best and kind of see what happens. But at least to start the season, the plan is going to be to split these guys, give them each a little bit of a look, a little bit of a chance here to kind of, you know, stake their case here, grab the job and kind of run with it. But boy, oh boy, they've both been fun to watch here. For Joey Hocko, he's one of these guys here from Halifax coming over from the East Coast there as well. Well, really both of them is Dauphiné also coming from Quebec there as well. Mm. I mean, both guys, smaller guys, but ultimate competitors. We saw Hocko even in that last game. I think he gave up, one goal against there. And for Dauphiné, I mean, he's one of these guys. He had those green pads. He was easy to see out there. And I think just a real calmness is what he brings, you know, on the back end as well. So for both these guys, I can't wait to see what they have in between the pipes there. And I would be watching intently just like the rest of them. But I'll tell you what, talking to both these guys, Hocko back in the summer when I was talking to him after he signed, I did up a nice article there on Battleford Now. If you want to go and check out that one as well.
Plug. You
know, he was just talking about, thanks. He was just talking about being excited to come over and really wanted to seize that opportunity. He's one of these guys. He saw what the team was able to do, the success they were able to have even last year, and he wants to be a part of something big. And then for Dauphiné as well, I talked to him at the barbecue, the season kickoff barbecue there where the roster was announced. He said, just excited to be here as well. He said, English isn't the best right now. And I said, no problem at all. And he gave a great interview anyways. And, you know, he's another one of these guys. I mean, athletic, quick reflexes, and we'll see what they got here. Opening night and opening week here on throughout the season. But I can't wait. I'm sure that that'll be question marks maybe for now heading into the season. But I have no doubt these two guys are going to deliver in a big way here.
Well, you got to help them out. You'll have to get fluent in French quickly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. My grade 10 French is going to be kicking in here a little.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay, final question for you, Marty. Just this Nutrien division this year. I think Clark and I were talking about it earlier. I think this year for this division, it's just obviously last year you had the two powerhouses in Battlefords and Humboldt, and now with, you know, obviously a lot of fresh faces in both Battleford and Humboldt, and you have Kindersley with a lot of good returning players, new coach at the helm. Notre Dame's icing a older roster than normal. What do you expect from this division? Because for us, we were talking about it on SJHL Weekly. We were talking, Clark and I were talking about prior to you coming on. This seems like the most unpredictable division this year in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. So as somebody who covers this division, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I can't wait for these rivalry nights here. Like you said, I mean, the whole division top to bottom is going to be really, you know, in a lot of ways, much improved even from last year, which is saying something because things were so tight even last year for the majority of things as far as, you know, And there's one thing about kind of this division is it doesn't even matter where teams are in the standings. Every game is an absolute, all out affair there. And that's what you like to see. You know, you want to see competitive games here on a night to night basis. And yeah, I mean, you touched on it there. I mean, Kindersley bringing back, their coach from a couple of seasons ago, former coach of the year in this league. You know, Notre Dame being a little bit of an older team. I know I was listening to these interviews on the program as well. I mean, just great to see. You know, that's when the league's in a great spot, is when things are competitive every night. And can't wait to be a part of it. Can't wait to see some of these games here. And one thing we know from the Battleford Stephen Kindersley rivalry, yes, they may have been maybe opposite ends of the standings there last year at the end of the season, but you wouldn't know it watching preseason this year. Those were a couple of real heavy games there. And even that first game, the rookie game there, it wasn't even like full preseason rosters or anything like that. First exhibition game of the season. And what did we see? But we saw a bit of that nastiness. We saw a couple of almost scraps as well. And then even throughout the preseason, their second last game of the preseason was between these two sides. And you would have thought it was already mid-October or something like that. So I can't wait to see it. Obviously, when you talk about your Humboldts and your Notre Dames as well, always great games. And so just happy to be a part of it. Can't wait to call the action here again this year.
Well, it should be an interesting year, not just in the Nutrien division, but of course in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. And Marty, it is always a pleasure to chat with you as always. Thanks so much for making the time to come on the show. And we will see you around the rink, my friend.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Thanks again for having me on. Always a pleasure. And can't wait to get it all started.
All right, Marty, we'll talk to you soon. That is the play-by-play voice of the Battleford's North Stars, Mr. Marty Martinson. Clark was just sitting there beside me the whole time. Big old smile on his face.
This is pretty much what I looked like the whole interview.
It was. I was peeking over and you're just giggling like a little schoolgirl over there. Just smiling, enjoying life.
It's just great. I am choosing Battleford's to win the league after that interview. I'm so excited.
I had some jokes I was going to make, and then I was just like, it was funny asking him. Marty's the best. He's the biggest cheerleader for his, one of the biggest cheerleaders for his team, obviously, but just asking him about training camp. He pretty much just talked about everybody on the roster.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, that crosses off about four of my questions.
Yeah,
that's good.
No,
that's,
he recognized it though. He stopped.
He didn't spoil it. I will say I didn't even ask all my questions though.
Oh, that's fair.
But that's okay.
You didn't have to.
I didn't.
That was a great interview.
Because it was Marty. But I did think of an idea during that interview. I think one time this year, we'll get Marty as a co-host.
Oh yeah.
To fill in for coming on an episode.
Yeah.
Because we'll pretty much then get the episode off.
Yeah.
We'll get a break. We'll save our voice. So if you're anytime this year we're about to do a show, if your throat's a little sore or vice versa, we'll bring Marty on, third host, and we'll let him take the wheel.
I like it.
Okay.
Excellent. It in, Marty.
Well, he's not on anymore.
Right.
He probably can't hear us. He's probably logged off.
He'll listen to it after, though.
He will.
Yeah.
So, Marty, you might get a call. Before we wrap things up, he just messaged me, actually. He said, thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I thought he was going to say, I'm in.
Oh, he said, thank you for having me on the show. Yeah. A very polite
Always a good
Marty
time.
Martinson as well. Before we wrap things up, we got to look ahead to the schedule for this weekend. Mm-hmm. Of course, all the action in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. The first games of the season start tomorrow night, Friday night. Five games on the schedule. Flin Flon visits Nipawin, Yorkton at Weyburn, Melville at Estevan, LaRange at Melfort, Kindersley at Battleford. And then, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about it, actually, when I mentioned it earlier. But last year, I don't think we got a six-game day until well later on in the season. Like, I don't think we got it this early, but I could be wrong. Okay. Maybe it was opening weekend. I don't know. But it felt like we didn't get one.
There's a lot of games in between opening weekend last year and this year.
Yeah, so there was.
I can see where you might get jumbled.
But Saturday, all 12 teams are in action. Melford at Flin Flon, Estevan at Melville, Weyburn at Yorkton, Notre Dame at Humboldt, Nipawin at LaRange, Battleford at Kindersley. And then Sunday, weekend wraps up with Humboldt and Notre Dame. Before, we did this last year. And we'll get to our games of the weekend.
Yep.
here in a moment. But I actually want to get your opinion on this.
Sure.
Because as I read off the schedule, you can kind of see there's two different ways of going about opening weekend schedule.
Yeah.
And I want to know which one you prefer. Do you prefer seeing two teams playing a home and home? Mm-hmm. Or do you like how the Sherwood division did it and kind of did a little bit of a rotation where you see Flin Flon's at Nipwin, LaRonge at Melfort, and then Melfort at Flin Flon, and then Nipwin at LaRonge? Which one do you prefer?
As a former employee, I like the home and homes just because, and it's usually rivalries more or less.
Yeah, that's
and fair. I always just like that kicking off that season with that rivalry home and home. And
fair enough.
So that's a former ticket salesperson, yeah, a former game day person. Sure. That's the way I look
as a fan.
But I like the idea of getting to see a couple different teams in the first couple of games. So I don't mind that as well. I will say with most of my heart is saying that home and home off that top weekend or the first weekend, I have always appreciated that.
See, I like the variety.
You like the change?
I prefer the variety.
Fair enough.
Because, and I think I mentioned it on Monday, but I'll mention it again. Last year, when we saw this like little mix in the Sherwood, where teams were playing each other or different mm-hmm. matchups and everything like that, we saw all four teams go 1-1.
Right.
Which yeah, I thought was hilarious.
Sure.
Because it was just like a full circle of who beat who.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that made it pretty fun. I don't know. I think it's, you know, there's...
I do like that. That's a good point.
I think either way, it's mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Clark, and I'm going to be a stickler this year.
You're going to make me pick one?
I'm going to be a stickler this year. We are sticking to one. You can't pick more than one.
Per day.
One game. That's it.
One game for the whole weekend?
Well, sorry. It's not game of the night. It's game of the weekend.
I thought it was game of the day, and then you did two both days.
Game of the weekend.
All right.
What is your game of the weekend?
So I'll try to stick to your sticklerness.
And here's the thing. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Every show.
Yep.
So then you don't pick this. So then you don't get mad if I accidentally take your game.
Okay.
Okay?
Fair enough.
So you get to pick first.
There are some great games this weekend.
There are.
I will say that.
I almost threw my pen.
I'm going to go a little bit. I don't know if this is off the board or not.
I'll say this. I don't think there's any matchup.
There isn't a matchup that's off the board. Okay, thank you for that. So then I feel good with this selection.
Okay.
I am going to go because I'm an employee with IKS Media. I'm going to go with Estevan Bruins home opener on Friday with their clock reveal for their brand new score clock against the Melville Millionaires. It's going to be a great night for the whole rink. I think it's going to be a packed barn. They're going to get a great crowd out to kind of celebrate that, you know, opening of the new season. Estevan always has a great home opener, former employee here, a little biased, not going to say anything more than that. But I'm going to pick that one because you're being a stickler. I'm not even going to say anything about the other matchups that are awesome, like Flin Flon and Nipwin.
It's going to be a great weekend.
Like Flin Flon and Nipwin, for example, on Friday night. Or I'm not going to say anything about Kindersley Battlefords. I'm not going to say anything about those games.
You just did.
Nope.
You just did.
Nope.
By mentioning the games, you
didn't
did.
Say anything.
You did
I am, say something. I'm going to pick Estevan hosting Melville Friday night. Clock reveal, home opener. There we go.
Is it technically a clock reveal?
Well, they have shown it off a couple
times.
If it's
already up and they had it for the preseason.
But maybe it's going to...
Is it a... It's
I'm
not
sure
a
they'll
reveal.
Have some stuff planned for
My sponsor sheet fell.
I was wondering what that was.
Is Noogsy here? Papers flying on the floor?
Good reference.
Thank you.
Pay attention to SJHL Weekly every Monday.
Yeah. You know what? There'll be little tidbits and references like that.
Yeah.
I'm also going to go for a game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, here's the thing. Because you mentioned other games.
I didn't, though.
Yes, you did. You said them. Because you said them, you kind of spoiled my game.
Oh, okay.
And mine's Flin Flon at Nipwin.
It's a great one.
Because I think I was at the Flin Flon versus Nipwin home opener last year, and it was a great game. Both good teams last year. But I think both teams this year, I think... A little prediction. I think both Flin Flon and Nipwin are home ice advantage playoff teams. First round of the playoffs this year. There's my bold prediction.
I like it.
But I think that's going to be a real... I think if you like offense, I think that game Friday night at the
It's going to be a good showcase.
The cage is going to be
yep.
bumping.
And I will say that is going to be... And I'm hoping that Nipwin, the building... the cage listened to our shows last year, and this is going to be the unveiling of the Braxton Buck Burger and the Ronin Buck Burger. They'll both be different. They'll be different offerings.
I completely forgot about that.
So See, reference to last year.
Actually, you know why I forgot about it? Because I wasn't on that show.
Oh, yeah. That was my show. That was the one I did.
I wasn't on that show. And, right. And of course, if I'm not on the show, I don't watch it. So I'm kidding.
Who can blame you?
I'm kidding.
I was the host of that one.
I did watch that show because I was in Commissioner Kyle McIntyre's vehicle on the way to the SJHL MJHL showcase. No, I did watch it.
But the Ronan Buckberger Buckberger.
We should plan a trip.
Yep.
We should plan a trip up to Nipwin here shortly.
Well, they got to announce that they're doing it first, and then I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Maybe they'll do it without announcing it.
I mean, and I will say, too, Kyle McIntyre
did say... Great idea, though.
It's a great idea.
It is a great idea.
Kyle McIntyre said Melville's got the best rink burgers. He said it. I'm just relaying the message.
I know, and I'm not disagreeing with him.
So, and I have had it.
I'm not disagreeing with him.
I have had it. It's wonderful.
I think I've also, like, similar to Kyle, just because obviously both of us have been in the SJHL... Mm-hmm. I was in it for 4 years and then left and then now back. I have had a burger at every rink, and I would agree with Kyle.
Yep.
I would agree with Kyle.
They do a wonderful job.
The food at the Melville rink is outstanding.
They have offerings, and I'm not saying anything bad about any other rink, but you know.
Yeah.
And they just so happened to host a game on Saturday. I'm just saying. So, I don't know.
Well, there you go. all right. There you go. Before we go, we got to, plug all of our social media as always. Hey Clark, while we're on the one shot, if you can try and get under the camera and not walk in front of it, we're gonna see if Clark, he's gonna grab the sponsor sheet. Thank you, Clark. big shout out. We have to plug our social medias. If you want to stay up to date with everything in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League this year, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook. Follow us on I almost said it.
Oh.
Follow us on X.
You got to be careful.
I have to.
We're going to get.
I almost said it. I almost said it. Follow us on X.
Ugh.
I know. I thought I would have done it on Monday, but I didn't.
No offense, Elon.
Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, all that fun stuff. And as you can see on the down in the left corner. Mm-hmm. All SJHL content, games rather, this season can be watched on Flow Hockey. Get your subscription today. Yes, it's a new website, but I watched some games during the preseason. It looks really good on Flow Hockey.
So I gotta get on there.
Highly recommend. Get your subscription today to catch all the action in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League this year and watch all your favorite teams. But of course we have to thank our great sponsors. We thank them all the time. Thank you again, Clark, for putting up my sponsor sheet. Yeah, you can
now, I was going to say.
Yes, I can. But the big one that I will never forget is our friends at UPL for presenting SJHL Insider, SJHL Weekly, all the SJHL shows this season.
Yep.
So thank you, UPL, as our presenting sponsor. We really appreciate your support, but we got to thank all of our other great sponsors, Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Auto Mall, Great Western, Nutrien, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGEU, and SGI. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your support, because without your support, our shows would not be possible. It is going to be a great weekend. Opening weekend, it's always a lot of fun. There's only a few other weekends I think I personally get more excited for in hockey season. First weekend of the playoffs is always really exciting. Mm-hmm. But the first weekend to kick off a new season where all 12 teams have hope, excitement for a brand new year.
Everybody's tied.
Everyone's tied.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than opening weekend.
No.
So... I got to say, if you can make it out to your local rink to catch one of the great home openers this weekend, please do so. It's going to be a great year of hockey in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, and we will be here the whole season across our YouTube channel, so be sure to subscribe today. It is free. We're almost at 1,000 subscribers.
Let's go.
You can also listen to the show on, of course, Apple and Spotify. You can subscribe to the podcast form as well. So you can stay up to date for both SJHL Weekly, which releases on Monday, SJHL Insider, which is on Thursday, and much, much more. Thank you so much for tuning in to SJHL Insider presented by UPL, and enjoy the opening weekend of hockey.